Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy, and we welcome you right here into our show tonight. Got a great one for you. We want you to remember that Yahweh loves you, and Yahweh is He's the answer to all of our prayers. It's wonderful, and the Bible says it's joy unspeakable, and of course it's full of glory. So by being full of glory, we want you to know, as we welcome you in here tonight to the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy, that we're going to talk to you tonight about a very important message of world starvation. We believe that this is engineered and planned by those who seek to destroy the people that they fear. Now, who would that be? That may be possibly you. Did you know that the Bible said some of you will be imprisoned, and the internment camps are growing, and they're building, and they're rushing toward Armageddon, like we have talked about. And tonight, we want to focus on the preservation of your physical being. Now, you know, the Bible said that He wants your soul to prosper even as you prosper. Well, you can't prosper if you're hungry. So basically what you've got to do is you've got to know that in Asia and Africa, this is where, in Latin American countries, well over 500 million people are living in what the World Bank has called absolute poverty. Every year, 15 million children die of hunger. Now, think about this. For the price of one missile, a school full of hungry children could eat lunch every day for 5 years. And yet they keep on spending money for missiles, and people are literally starving. Throughout the 1990s, more than 100 million children died from illness and starvation. Those 100 million deaths could have been prevented for the price of 10 stealth bombers, of what the world spends on its military, just what the world spends in 2 days. 100 million children could have lived. Now, we know we have abortions, and that's appalling to me. But life, you know, you just become a deceased number. That's basically all it is. And the World Health Organization, which we have taught you last week about the coming pandemic, we're going to include tonight the tentacles of this master plan, the strategy that they're going to use is to bring about world starvation, hunger. Now, when you get hungry, you'll beg for food. In the Depression, literally here in America, people literally stood in long lines for days just to get a morsel of food or a cup of soup. That's how bad it was. Now, what are you going to do if you're in the city? And ladies and gentlemen, you might as well just to be in the city if you're out in the suburbs and you still ain't prepared for the coming world problems that is creeping in. Now, we've got global, we've got mass global confusion. 3 billion people in the world today struggle to survive on $1 a day. That's over half the world's population. Now, in America, we throw away, it is ridiculous of what we throw away every day in America. But ladies and gentlemen, more and more, we're throwing away food that's not worth eating. We become obese. We're out of shape. We're sick. We're weak. We're feminine, the men are feminine, and the women are masculine, just because all the introduction of all of these bioengineered foods, GMO foods, that we're having to consume in the marketplace. And you know what I have learned? And this, I've reluctantly learned this, because I'm telling you, the excitotoxins that they put in food, I mean, it will capture your taste buds and make them slaves. I mean, you've just got to run to Big Mac and to McDonald's and get a Big Mac. And you don't know that in the Big Mac is probably component parts of over 60 cattle from around the world. A little hamburger here, a little hamburger there. They don't care. They just bring hamburger in and grind it up. They don't care where it comes from. And that's what I'm talking about. You know, the Bible said to drink water from your own cistern. But it says also says that stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. So we want that sweet bread. I mean, we consume it's over 100 pound of sugar. Way over 100 pound to be honest with you, that the consumer in America, this is the American standard here, that we consume over 100 pound per person each year, 100 pound of sugar. You say, well, I don't add any sugar to my food. Well, somebody does it for you, whether you want it or not. If you eat a piece of bread, if you drink a Coke, you know, it's got 10 teaspoonfuls of sugar in an 8-ounce can of Coca-Cola. 10 of them. You drink a couple of Cokes a day, and man, you, no wonder diabetes is rampant and raging through the country. No wonder obesity is just almost a crime, how fat and out of shape that we've got. I mean, you just go into a city and pan with the camera, and look at the people as they walk by. It is ridiculous. Every year, 15 million children die of hunger. One in 12 people worldwide is malnourished, including 160 million children under the age of 5, according to the United Nations Food and Agriculture. Now, I want to ask you a question. With America, I mean, if you check to see what's going on in America lately, I mean, storms. This year, agricultural commodities harvest will be down in America by 20 to 40%. The low stock level worldwide will only increase the situation. Certain grains in America seems to have completely exhausted the warehouse inventory, according to Noger's blog reports that I've got this information up and running right now. It's already been a tough year for Indian farmers in India, and this is one of the problems. With monsoon rains ravaging 27% of the farmers' crops are below normal as of June the 1st through August the 18th. This is an up-to-date report. Now, according to Rutgers, in the cane-growing Northwest, things are even worse. Here, rains are 37% lower in the period that normally provides around three-quarters of the nation's rainfall for the entire year. Now, let me show you something here. And you say, well, that's no skin off of my butt about India. Well, India has approximately 1 billion people. Its neighbor, China, has approximately 1 billion. Now, that's almost a third of the world's population. If you throw in, Indonesia and a few more countries here, you're going to get one-third of the world's population. Now, if they're hungry, You take a hungry lion is out hunting, and these nations are going to start hunting for food, and they're going to be desperate to feed their people. Well, if they come to America, you know, to get our wheat or our corn, and they used to, they could do that, and we had abundance. That's no longer the case. According to media reports, the government held 18.79 MMT, that's metric tons, that's 18 million metric tons of rice and 31 million tons of wheat in reserve as the end of January. Now that sounds like a whole lot, but in a country with a population the size of India, which is 1.1 billion, as I said, it represents less than 2.5 months worth of rice consumption and less than 5 months of supply of wheat. That's how fast that 18 metric tons of rice and wheat that India has in reserve, it could be gone in less than 5 months, and all of the reserves are gone. Now, last week, the United States Department of Agriculture cut its estimate of rice production this season by 15.5 metric tons from its July prediction to 84, that's million, metric tons. That's 84 million metric tons, which is around 9 million metric tons lower than domestic consumption. There is no official word yet on wheat production estimates for 2010's crop, which will be harvested next March and April. With wheat demand forecast to rise due to shortfalls in rice production, then the 31.62 million metric tons is going to start disappearing very rapidly in a country that normally consumes around 6.5 million metric tons of wheat a month. Various media reports suggest that there is virtually no wheat left in the private hands of India. Now, that's the problem in India, and it has its repercussions around the world. You take China, which is the next-door neighbor, they too are suffering. Now, let's turn our attention to the situation in America. In recent days, numerous stories detail crop and livestock damage, drought, floods, hail, and freezes have actually bitten into our food supply, but the result is the same every time, that the destroyed or damaged food supplies, these ultimately lead to higher store prices. Take your milk and your bread, which is staple diet for people in America, a loaf of bread. And the Bible speaks about the day coming that there's going to be a drought or a famine, and it's going to ravage the world. Not you know, America has been the breadbasket of the world, but America now, notice this, California and Texas. Now, that's the two of America's main food-producing states. You throw in Florida for fresh fruits and vegetables, and man, you've got a problem here. They are experiencing severe, ongoing drought. California and Texas. California is suffering through a fourth straight year of horrendous water shortages, which has impacted every single crop it produces. And if you really want to know what that means, you need to look at California's vital role in putting food on your table where you live. if you live in Chicago, if you live in New York, if you live, say, like in Detroit, you're looking at California and Texas and Florida's vital role, which has suffered severe 4 years of severe drought. Texas, year before last, was inundated with water. And this year, they are in a severe drought themselves. What's going on? Is it like the Bible said that the sea turned to blood and a loaf of bread would cost you over $5 a loaf? Ladies and gentlemen, that time's here. Did you know that if you go down to your local health store and you get a loaf of bread that is, let's say, like whole wheat or sprouted grain bread, the live enzyme bread, you know what you're going to get for that? The prophecy of the Bible that bread would get over $5 a loaf, that's done come to pass. Now, parts of Texas are now experiencing the worst drought ever. And there are fears that are surfacing that it may be here to stay. Now, did you hear what I said? This is the experts that are predicting that Texas and California, now remember, California is in a financial crunch. Texas is not far behind. They have so many immigrants coming in from across the border. And they're on the welfare system, they're on the school system, and the burden of these municipalities and these townships having to feed and clothe and welfare these immigrants into the system, it has actually broke the system, and now with the hand of the Father, who will punish the sins of this nation in such a way that parts of Texas and California are now experiencing the worst drought forever, and fears are surfacing that it may be here to stay. Extreme drought is impacting everything that Texas produces. Markin economist Dr. Mark Welch expects drought, listen to this now, to cut the Texas corn crop by 45%. That's half. Almost half of the grain crop, the corn. They should be harvesting 100%. In this case, they're only going to harvest this year 45% of the corn. And listen to sorghums, which you get your cane syrup and the sweeteners and stuff that goes into your product. See, this is why it's going to go up. Everything that you buy now, and now they're turning to unnatural substitutes. And no wonder we're getting sick. No wonder the population here in America, we're dying for the lack of wholesome foods. And you know, I have got me a lesson here in the last little while of live enzymes, how precious and how needful they are to renew your cells. Otherwise, you're going to get cancer. You're going to get diabetes. You're going to get heart trouble. Your arteries are going to be clogged with cholesterol. You know, they not only do they suggest that you don't eat foods high in cholesterol, and they make sure that they put these synthetic substitutes in your natural enzyme. See, cholesterol is, you need fat. That's to feed your brain. But they cut all out of the diet. They cut the good cholesterol out along with the bad. And you die as, you can die quicker from the lack of good cholesterol as from the abundance of bad. You see, see, it has to be a happy medium there and a balance that nature's provided you with the natural foods. 45% in the corn and 69% of the sorghum crop is going to be lost. 69%. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to leave just the remainder would be very scarce. In other words, this product is going to, I mean, no wonder bread and wheat and corn and milk and meat, and not only that, gasoline. You know, they started making ethanol out of the product, and it was more profitable to sell it to the oil companies than it was to put it on the consumers' tables as a part of the diet. Cotton fields are so dry, they're being completely abandoned. Wheat is only going to fall 62% of its expected crop of 100%. 62% of the wheat is failing. It won't be at the table. It won't be harvested this year. And the worst drought ever, and it may be here, according to Dr. Mark Welch, forever. What are we going to do, ladies and gentlemen? Are you prepared? Are you on safe ground? Are you where you can grow food? Do you have a reserve? You're saying, well, ain't no use. We went through that in Y2K, buddy. Don't bring up another scare. I'm not falling for that crap. Listen, when you become complacent, when you let your guard down, the Bible says when they say peace and safety, and that's what they're preaching to you. Now, we're worried about what Mr. Obama's doing on his vacation. Our direction is pushed. I mean, if you look at world news, it's what one senator said about the other senator, or who slept with who in Washington, or Hollywood, or New York City, or Chicago, Illinois, and what the first family is going to wear. Oh, the fashion experts. Oh, she is so beautiful. And we're captivated. While the world goes to hell in a handbasket, we're worried about the first lady's attire. I mean, the press will write volumes, but they'll never tell you what Pastor Buddy's teaching you tonight. That Dr. Mark Welch, an economist in Texas, says that the corn crop is going to be down 45%, the sorghum crop by 69%, wheat by 62%, and cotton fields are completely abandoned. This is only the foods in trouble that I have mentioned here. I haven't mentioned vegetables, horticultural plants, peaches, and the world-famous pecans have also taken severe hits. April freezes wiped out the Texas grapes, leaving wineries in tough shape. Well, let's move north just a little bit. Drought in Wisconsin. I got a friend who lives in Wisconsin, and he told me yesterday that his tomatoes look beautiful. And he said, they're big. Some of them weigh about a pound apiece. And he says, you go out there and you pick one off and you can bounce it like a basketball. It's so tough and hard. He said, buddy, I've never seen nothing like our crops up here, our gardens. Wisconsin has pushed farmers, drought has pushed farmers in Wisconsin to the edge, and where it hasn't destroyed crops and livestock outright, crops are at least 3 to 4 months behind, and Iowa, hail losses are devastating to the farmers. To the north, the story is the same. Canadian farmers expect to harvest only 20 to 25% of their usual yield. What's going on here, ladies and gentlemen? It's coming home to America. It's coming home to Canada. It's already been in Mexico. They can't grow enough food down there to feed themselves. Canada is, you know, they're gleaning wheat fields and the cornfields. Down 20 to 25% of their usual yield. And don't forget now, livestock. Listen to this. Let's go back to Texas for a moment. At least 40% of Texas cow herds live in exceptional or extreme drought areas, and they're having to either, number one, sell off the herd or pay expensive money for food imported into their farms to hold their cattle over, and very few have the luxury of affording to hold their cattle for another year, with at least 40% of Texas cow herds that are in trouble, with little or no hay, which has been baled this year, and cattle are suffering. Farmers have been forced to sell underweight animals because there's no grass in the fields, and in July, it was deemed critical that Texas receive serious rain to maintain their animals. A month later, now, still no rain. This massive moisture blow has affected goat, sheep, and horse herds, as well as honey production. Bees dying, hives disappearing. No one knows why. We are in a heap of trouble. Wyoming's herds have thinned by 300,000 head. The culprit, a decade-long drought, also including into Canada, and it feels the harsh impact with farmers struggling through the worst drought in 50 years, and they're forced to sell their herds. Ditto in Argentina, except their animals are dying before they get to market. Cuba and Guatemala are also experiencing food worries down through the South Americas. The UK Telegraph writes that El Nino threatens world food shortages. Longer-term consequences are detailed in Global Starvation Intimate as U.S. faces a crop failure on a par that has not been seen since the 30s and the Dust Bowl era. And here in America, ladies and gentlemen, it is coming home as the U.S. facing imminent crop failures, while we are not at this point now, but grouped together, current news stories paint an unsettling picture, and then the worldwide situation in countries like India, which can't feed itself, China, which is struggling to feed itself, cannot do it. They're having extreme weather changes along with India. And these are, like I say, if you take these two countries, you're almost producing one-third of the world's population. Well, the Bible said one-third of the world's population died at some point in time. Are we near that time? Well, listen to Mark Davis as he reports on world famine. The world faces mass starvation following North America's next major crop failure. Now, if we get another bad crop failure, Mr. Mark Davis, reporting on the potential for world famine, that if North America faces another major crop failure, it could even happen before the year's end. So says the Chicago-based Don Cox, who is one of the world's leading experts on agricultural commodities, so much so that Canada's renowned BMO Financial Group named the fund after him. He's so good at predicting, and he says that the world is on the verge of imminent starvation due to the crop failures in North America, which has been taking up the slack in a worldwide situation, and the World Health Organization says that with hungry children, it breeds disease, and therefore, now, not tomorrow, not next year, not next week, but now, there is the potential for this to turn into a worldwide epidemic or a pandemic of major eruptions of diseases like the world has never seen. Something going on. Whether it's planned, purposed, or whether it's an act of the Creator, an angry God that sits in the heavens that is judging the world, it is now been prophesied by the Bible in the book of Revelation. It's almost like a sci-fi thriller erupting across the world. And you're worried about who won this weekend's ball games. You bet on the horses. You did something to entertain yourself. You ate, you drank, and you were merry until Noah entered the ark and shut the door, and the world was destroyed. And it come upon them unaware. Beware, lest this day come upon you unaware. In a global community depending on other countries' exports and imports, the United States has many long-standing contracts promising to deliver millions of tons of grains and meats to other countries such as Pakistan, India, Africa, and China, all very large countries and continents which have trouble growing enough food in normal times. Due to drought, they are in terrible shape, and these countries that regularly buy U.S. foodstuff, what happens when our own foodstuffs are in jeopardy that we cannot even feed our own population? Now, you see the problem? Now, what do we do to eliminate that? Well, we have a world war. Well, what does that do, Pastor Buddy? Well, that eliminates the hungry bellies. That gets rid of some of the problems that we've got going on here in America. An imminent crop failure in North America, it's going to have an impact upon other rural nations' economies and its ability to feed them. We've got a situation, Mark Davis goes on to report, we have a situation where there has been no incentive to allocate significant new capital to agriculture. Now, we're busy supplying the Wall Street money changers. We have forgotten to allocate significant new capital to agriculture or to development of new technologies to dramatically expand the crop output. We've got complacent, he told the BNW Newswire. So these reasons, I say, I believe that the next food crisis, when it comes, will be a bigger shock than oil at $150 a barrel. You know what that would bring? A lot of squeaking wheels. Now, Mr. Davis remarks that farmers, not just in North America, but the world over, are reeling from the global economic meltdown and have consequently curtailed their output. Thus, the inability to bring enough foodstuffs to the table to prevent a global food reduction production this year. And it's the first annual dip in living memory, and it means that farmers will not be able to keep pace with current grain demand, even with America leading the way. We are in our first, Mr. Davis goes on to say now, ladies and gentlemen, you got to take this serious, because when you go to the grocery store, when you run to Walmart, Wally World, and you go skipping down the food lane, you can see all this wonderful food wrapped up and packaged. You sure it's good quality food? Oh, yeah, it looks good. You read the labels and it sounds good. You take it home and you put it on your stove and you cook it, and it's got no nutritional value or little whatsoever. You eat more, you get fatter, you get sicker, and you die of famine. We're in the first serious food crop failure, and we have a full-blown food crisis, which we will not be able to get out of because we are still struggling to catch up as a result of the diminished crop yields of yesteryears, he says. Furthermore, the prospect, let me get into the oceans just for a moment. A major source of growing our foods, the oceans. We don't have to breed, we don't have to spawn any of the fish. Are we getting? And today, ladies and gentlemen, the oceans being over-farmed, overfished, we're destroying the scavengers, the sharks, and the fish that are in there to clean up the mess, to keep it clean. We're dumping trillions of barrels of junk into our waters every day. We're sewage. We're growing a new brand of fish in the ocean. They're mutating into these horrible, awful, ungodly things to eat. And yet people keep eating these things, and even the sharks are in they're facing extinction. If we don't get a handle on this wild rush to the seas, to each nation that is on the sea and has got fishing ships in the sea, if they have a right to international fish, if they're in international waters. And they're overfishing. It is unreal what we're doing to our waters. No wonder the waters become blood and dried up. And every living thing in the sea died. The Bible says this, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't write this monster story that I'm bringing to you tonight. And I shudder at the thought that we cannot feed ourselves because we're in a serious crop failure. We got a full-blown food crisis in the land of plenty. But sooner or later, furthermore, the prospect of a near-term global food crisis has brought about a surge in demand for high-quality protein meat. In emerging super economies such as China and India, that now means that they are bulging to demand the global share of these crop staples, which is already beginning to be outstripped by the supply. You see what I'm talking about? Hungry nations are going to fight and war. Well, is this all planned? What are they spraying for every day? Have you ever looked up into the sky? During this decade, the annual increase herbatures of global cultivated farmland has been roughly 1.5% at a time when global demand for grains and soybeans has been growing at double that rate. So we've got a planting, a cultivated farmland of 1.5% to feed a nation of hungry people that is double the rate in the demand. We're dealing with mass starvation with the first serious crop failure on a worldwide scale, and it could happen as early as this fall. Oh, what about the monetary situation, Pastor Buddy? Ladies and gentlemen, these things are coming upon us that 3 billion people in the world today are struggling to survive on $1 a day. Listen to this. The Urban Institute has assessed that 1 out of 6 elderly people in the United States have a less than inadequate diet. In the U.S., hunger and race are deeply related. 46% of Afro-American children were chronically hungry, and 40% of Latin children were chronically hungry, compared to 16% of the white children. And you know what? The white families are about the only ones that were working to supply a staple diet to the table, whereas the Afro-Americans depended on the welfare system, and the welfare systems are now being cut back and curtailed. Like in California, the benefits are being cut out. The taxes have been increased on the small businesses, and the Mexican Americans are coming in droves, and malnutrition is implicated in more than half of the child deaths worldwide, a proportion unmatched by any infectious disease since the Black Death. 183 million children weigh less than they should for their age. To satisfy the world's sanitation and food requirements, it would cost only U.S. dollars, $13 billion, what the people of the United States and in Europe Union spend on perfume each year. Now, does that give you some indication of how vain we are? To satisfy the world's sanitation and food requirements would cost $13 billion, and that is what the people of the United States and Europe spend on perfume. The assets of the world's 3 richest men, listen to this now, 3 of the world's richest men the 3 world's richest men are more than the combined gross national product, that's a GNP, of all of the least developed countries on the planet. 3 of the world's richest, and I'm not even including the Walmart clan. You see, there's about 16 of them, and together, you know, if they were all together, they would be the richest people in the world, because Walmart is the richest corporation on the planet. But there's some richer people than they are. Can you imagine? And the world's 3 richest men. And I'll name you 2 of them. We would start with the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. Well, we should give you the 3rd one, the Mellon. 3 of the world's richest men are more, the richest combined, are more than all of the least developed countries on the planet. And every 3.6 seconds, someone in those underdeveloped countries die of hunger. Every 3 seconds, someone dies of hunger. It is estimated that 800 million people in the world suffer from hunger and malnutrition, about 100 times as many of those who actually die each year. In other words, 800 million go to bed hungry every night. Every 3.6 seconds, someone of those dies of extreme malnutrition and hunger. Starvation, ladies and gentlemen. In 1997 alone, the lives of at least 300 young children were saved by a vitamin A supplementation program in developing countries. Half of the children under 5 years of age in South Asia and one-third of those in sub-Saharan Africa are malnourished. But listen to this. One out of ever 8 children under the age of 12 in the United States of America go to bed hungry every night. In the U.S., 1 out of ever 8 children under the age of 12 go to bed hungry every night. Can you fathom? Can you fathom this? Now, November the 14th, 2002, the United Nations World Food Program, the WFP, has just warned that over 12 million people in Ethiopia are threatened with starvation over the next few months and launched an urgent appeal to provide emergency food relief. And it's still going on. We're facing was a joint world participating report said we're facing a serious humanitarian catastrophe. At least 10 million people will need food aid just in Ethiopia. But if this month's rain stops early, up to 14 million people will require urgent assistance. And he says the world should take notice. If donors are not quickly to respond, we will not be able to avoid an immense human tragedy. In South Africa, drought is the prime cause of hunger that is now threatening an estimated 14.4 million people, and on the other side of the African continent, lack of rain is already causing serious hardships and is spreading to 5 Western countries west of them, that's in Africa, affecting up to 1.5 million people. Most of these crises are related to erratic weather patterns. What's going on? Well, I'm sure that the HAARP system up at the North Pole didn't have nothing to do with it. I'm sure that spraying, global spraying worldwide, I'm sure that that don't have anything to do with it. I'm telling you, folks, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough sled for us, and we've got to be about our Father's business. Now, what do we need to do here in America, Pastor Buddy? Well, if my people which are called by my name shall pray and seek my face and humble and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven. I'll heal that land. There's something going on. The earth belongs to Yahweh. Yahweh's not pleased with all of the vibrations of the evil thoughts, the eating, drinking, and being merry, and people literally going to bed hungry. We've got a nation of soft bellies, overweight. We want to eat, we want to drink, we want to constantly party all the time. We're a drunken, riding lot, even in the daytime, Peter said, and we run to excess as the most wasteful nation in the world. Now, I would suggest that you get to the mountains as soon as possible. When you see these days, flee to the mountains. I would suggest that you consider earnestly to get to a mountain and you dig in and you prepare. Get you a root cellar. Get you some brothers and sisters that you love and wrap your arms around them and you and them you and hold on, because there's going to be such a great shaking in the land. Hell is going to be moved from beneath. The heavens are going to shake from above. And Yahweh is going to challenge the best that you got to offer. Ladies and gentlemen, you better prepare to meet these homecoming catastrophes as they emerge upon not only now the undeveloped countries of the third world. America is fast becoming a third world country herself. Our money is failing. Our banks are failing. Have you listened to the news lately? Or are you still busy eating, drinking, and keeping up with the baseball schedule or the football schedule or the basketball schedule? Or what movie star slept with what movie star? You see, so we're so embroiled in the world and the world's activities that we were just like they were in the days of Noah. We were eating, drinking, and being merry and starving to death. We brought this living hell down upon us. You people that live in the cities, I pity you. You're going to be like sewer rats trapped. I know, yes, when a pandemic is required to vaccinate every child, man, woman, and child, it's mandatory. When they cut off the routes out of the cities where you can't get to any country setting to get food, because the farmers aren't going to protect their crops, you better be harvesting. I know people that's well into this, ladies and gentlemen. They got food stuff stored up there prepared. Well, you need to get ready. You need to start thinking earnestly and contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I've got to get out of here tonight. My time has come and gone. I'm sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary. That's 1-800 or 1-877-289-7439. Dr. Gary. Dr. Gary would tell you this message is right out of his heart that I preached tonight. He could confirm it in so many ways. Brother Paul, Stem Tech. This is the T-cell count. You call him at 1-800-253-2748. And ladies and gentlemen, we're being live streamed 24 hours a day on oneyahweh.com. All you got to do is go over to oneyahweh.com. And we're being live streamed there 24 hours a day. We got over 1,000 hours of messages like you're hearing tonight. Warnings, pleadings. And when our voices ceased and there's no more a voice of warning, take heed, we told you so. When your dancing stops, when your ball games and your stadiums are empty and you don't have any pleasure places to go and you can't jump on your jet and jet across to Hawaii, or you can't go to Hyannisport, Mass, and vacation for a week or two on the taxpayer's expense. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, while Rome burns, America, while America is being destroyed, your elite, your powerful, are planning. They've done got their food stuff stored, ladies and gentlemen. They're prepared. Are you? Well, you can call me tonight. Area code 423-626-2172. Now, that's 423-626-2172. I'd like to hear from you tonight. Give me a call and talk about it. And tell me if you're ready. And if you're not ready, ladies and gentlemen, well, you better get ready. And to get ready, you've got to come to the mountains and prepare to meet Yahweh. He's a soon coming king, and he's wanting to bless you. And he wants to hold you in his hands, if you'll let him. You can write me tonight. That's area code 423-626-2172. If you want to call me, if you want to write me, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. That's 2284. New Caswell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. Now let me give it to you again. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. My phone number again, area code 423-626-2172. I send racial covenant greetings to all my brothers, especially to Brother J.W. and Miss Dottie tonight. I'm thinking about you for some strange reason, and I don't know why. But I love you guys up there in the great state of Michigan. Keep the faith, and let's huddle together like sheep, and let's get prepared to meet our Creator. Because the devil's coming to make war with the saints, and the Creator's coming to destroy him, and all the evil upon this earth. Oh, my. What a promise. Get in the hand of Yahweh. I love you. I'll see you tomorrow night at 11 Eastern Standard Time. WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel around the world on the transmitting jewel of the South. Tune in tomorrow night. Part 2 of the coming catastrophes that are bound to come upon planet Earth. America, you will not be excluded this time. You're going to be included, and that's in the plans. Yahweh bless you. I love you.
Sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands formed the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong. So when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Faith into one pair of hands.